the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. And today we are continuing on with our workshop on overcoming the frustrations of achieving an active lifestyle so that you can enjoy using your body on purpose and with purpose, even when it super duper sucks and you hate it. Now, the purpose of this workshop is to apply SRO, the stimulus response outcome model, to overcome the permission we give ourselves to be lazy when it comes to using our bodies on purpose and with purpose. With Tabitha, emotional disturbances, right, getting overly upset to the point to where it clouds her rational thinking, was probably the biggest limitation to her embracing a physically active lifestyle. She would routinely get into double trouble. She'd get frustrated because of a practical obstacle in her life. In this case, it could be about being active or otherwise. And what happened is that she would respond to this frustrating stimulus just about how every other normal person does. Instead of resolving the practical obstacle, she got upset there was an obstacle at all. And this upgraded her practical problem into an emotional disturbance and created herself a destructive outcome, which then became its own frustrating stimulus all over again. This is what in the SRO model is called double trouble, where you take a practical problem and in your infinite wisdom, in Tabitha's infinite wisdom, she upgraded it into an emotional disturbance. She got upset about being upset because of logic. Super logical. Anyway, this then becomes its own frustrating stimulus, which makes it harder to respond by doing smart stuff and easier to respond by doing dumb stuff, which again, then increases the chances of a destructive outcome at O, which then intensifies the emotional disturbance even more until Tabitha became overwhelmed. She became overwhelmed. Maybe you know what that's like. So this is why we're focusing the most energy on it. The first three parts covered Tabitha's foray into becoming active and having an active lifestyle and the amazing success that she had with it. The generation of the distorted BS belief systems around physical activity that she had, being physically active, and having her dispute those distorted beliefs scientifically by auditing her thinking, feeling, and urging around physical activity and shredding them up, shredding all that BS up with rational thinking and a bit of scientific disputation so she could replace that old, crappy, silly BS with some new, way more better, more rational BS instead, okay? With the beef of the cognitive aspect handled, it's appropriate to move on to the emotive aspect, how being active and using her body on purpose and with purpose affects Tabitha, and the sorts of feelings it gives her, where here we define feelings as a combination of emotions and sensations, okay? Can you feel joy? Yes. Can you feel hungry? Yes. Joy is an emotion. Hunger is a sensation. Together, Dr. Cashy lumps them into feelings, since there's such a strong psychosomatic component here. In other words, physical sensations tend to generate thoughts and emotions, while thoughts and emotions can also create physical sensations on their own, physical feelings. Together, they create urgency, okay? They create urgency. Now, that urgency is the tension to act. In this case, for Tabitha, the feelings, thoughts, feelings she had created urgency, and that all that stuff together created tension that Tabitha noticed surrounding physical activity. That's her thinking, feeling, and urging cycling around. Okay, we have stimulus and response here. Forgot to bring this out. Stimulus and response, and in that space between stimulus and response, you got thinking, feeling, and urging, and it's all interacting with itself. Okay, and that is what creates tension. That's what creates tension, to either go towards benefits or away from the hassles. Does that make sense? So tension, I guess you could actually just commonly refer to as motivation. Makes sense? That tension between stimulus and response is essentially the motivation to respond, to shrink, avoid, or resolve the stimulus, okay? So let's break this down, the space between stimulus and response, a little bit more. These descriptions make it seem like thoughts, feelings, and urges are separate processes, but the reality is that they're all happening at the same time and constantly feed off each other and regulate each other back and forth and so on and so forth. So thoughts help create the direction of the response. So thoughts help create the direction of the response, the appraisals and the inferences that help Tabitha to decide if she's going to cultivate urges to go towards benefits of being active or away from the hassles of being active. Thoughts also obviously influence feelings, okay? Sensations and emotions. Now feelings tune the likelihood and intensity of thinking toward benefits of being active or away from the hassles of being active. If activity is initially appraised outside in, right, from the environment to your old noodle, as something that is bad, in other words, Tabitha then creates bad feelings about it, then her knee-jerk urges from inside out, right, now that she's created her thoughts and feelings in her old noodle, she creates some urges which then prompts activity inside out that will be away from the hassle of being active. If activity is initially appraised, remember, outside in, as good, where Tabitha has good feelings about it, then the knee-jerk urges inside out will be toward her response, is more likely to be toward the benefit of being active. So feelings have the single largest initial impact on how Tabitha makes her inferences. And how strong the urge is here, how strong the urge is once Tabitha gives herself a sense of direction with the thoughts that she has about it. Keeping track, does this make sense so far? In other words, the only time an experience, actual or imagined experience, leads to an action, a response, is when we determine the affect it has on us or will have on us, actually or imagined. So thinking generates direction and feelings, okay, emotions and sensations, and feelings. Thinking generates direction, and feelings, emotions and sensations, they tune the intensity. Now, the greater the intensity, the stronger the feelings, and the cloudier thinking becomes. Ring any bells? This means that if something is appraised as something big, good or bad, it generates strong feelings, strong sensations, and strong emotions. Okay? And that increases the chances of acting impulsively, responding impulsively, because it builds super strong urges. Or the chances of acting without thinking are much higher. Okay? Acting impulsively. In other words, super strong feelings make it harder to respond smartly and easier to respond dumbly. And in Tabitha's case, the smart stuff is going toward the benefits of being active, and dumb stuff is going away from her exaggerated worst-case scenario hassles of being active. So what are some emotive methods that Tabitha used to appropriately tune her motivation to embrace physical activity? Well, SRO employs quite a few techniques to achieve this with clients. They're all based on generating these bad feelings on purpose. Ooh, weird, huh? Generating these bad feelings on purpose, with purpose, albeit in a controlled way. That's the purpose part, the second purpose part. When this happens, you generate these crappy feelings on purpose and then let them fade on their own while experiencing them. And this builds tremendous frustration tolerance extremely fast. However, we'll focus on the ones that work best for Tabitha since her overall results with TCAN have been so fabulous and she fits right into all of this stuff in terms of having really strong feelings in regard to being physically active, using her body on purpose and with purpose, okay? Having lost well over 120 pounds now, kicked diabetes, binge eating, migraines, neuropathy, childhood abuse, kicked it all to the curb. Just, she's champion at motivating herself the entire time, and she's worth championing for this cause, don't you think? Although this is the quickest path to overcoming strong negative feelings, it's also the most intense, okay? It's like fighting with fire, as Tabitha said. Fighting fire with fire, as Tabitha said. So there are three major techniques here. The three major techniques are shame extermination, Okay, it's shame extermination, cultivating self-respect, and role reversal. We're going to go through all of these. This is where the beef starts, okay? Now, shame extermination is almost exactly what it sounds like, exterminating shame. Tabitha was embarrassed of her body, ashamed of how she used it, and shame is almost directly related to self-esteem, which we'll describe in a few moments in the context of self-respect. In other words, Tabitha was extremely sensitive to other people's opinions of her body, and again, how useful her body is, or in this case, how handicapped it was. And this, in turn, caused Tabitha to obviously read other people's minds erroneously. She was so down on herself and beat herself up so badly that she just automatically assumed that other people were doing the same thing. She assumed that other people were thinking the same thing about her, and that was also affecting how she was thinking about herself and how she used her body. Does that make sense? That whenever she went anywhere, her self-consciousness was so strong, especially when she was physically active, that she could only start obsessing over what everyone else must have been thinking. Instead, they were thinking such horrible, nasty, negative things about her. Stimulus, right? She could only respond by avoiding physical activity entirely. And this caused her self-consciousness to get worse and her body to continue to get worse and her health continue to get worse and deteriorate as a destructive outcome, which ended up causing its own set of frustrating stimuli. Okay, see how this is flowing together now? Now, the only ways to get over problems of shame and embarrassment are to cultivate self-respect, explained just after this. And the current method here, shame extermination. This was actually pioneered by behavioral scientist Dr. Joseph Wolpe, and it is originally coined as systematic desensitization and graded exposure, stress inoculation, and the original intentions were obviously learning about how animals worked and then attempting to translate that to human behavior. It turns out these philosophies of science-based techniques transfer so amazingly well to SRO and modification of that space between stimulus and response, that tension, the thinking, feeling, and urging. See how this is flowing together? Okay, now for Tabitha to exterminate her shame first, she had to come, or she did come to the conclusion that by virtue of the conversations and disputations with herself and others, that she did act a fool, screw up, and damn herself. It made things worse when she used those as permission to upset herself even more, get into double trouble, and then do even more silly and impulsive stuff because of it. That it was okay, even encouraged, okay, to get frustrated and hassled and annoyed and concerned and maybe even regretful. And that those are motivating feelings. They create the right amount of tension on account of a practical problem. However, when Tabitha got upset with herself, upset that she got upset and got into double trouble, she quickly turned that hassle, quickly turned that annoyance, that irritation into a disaster. Okay? She turned her annoyance into anger, her concern into anxiety, and her regret into guilt and shame. And these things ended up culminating into a sort of depression. Okay? All these emotional upgrades, these feelings were upgraded into emotional disturbances. And by golly, those helpful motivational feelings turned into harmful and self-destructive emotional disturbances that clouded Tabitha's rational thinking and prompted her to think and act more impulsively. Okay? Which then has destructive outcomes, right? Then those things become frustrating stimuli. That's all she wrote today. I'll see you soon for the next section. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out.